The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Wonderful Wednesday, and we go back to the well, because the Holy Spirit wants us to review some practical teaching that we need to use daily. First up, how much of our faith are we spending on things that haven't happened yet? It is impossible to use faith to move a mountain that's just a hologram. Ooh, that's a good one. And then next, the prophet, the Messiah, and the psalmist all say the same thing. Maybe we should listen. Maybe that's a good idea. And finally, carrying our anxiety is like carrying a bag of garbage on our backs.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, you, we're asking you, what do you think? You're welcome to call us at 972-445-0770, 972-445-0770, or you can text us. That's the thing where you push the numbers in and you're not actually talking on the phone. That's 214-210-8483. You can do it for praise reports. You can do it for prayer requests. You can do it for trivia. Here comes our first trivia question. What were the names of Lazarus's sisters? What were the name of Lazarus's sisters? That should be a pretty easy one for most of you guys to kind of rock and roll with. I'm confident that you can get that. Do us a favor, reach out to us, let us know what you think. Here we go. Don't forget, any topic is open for conversation. Don't forget that. Because it's not professional radio. Just ask T. Is it professional radio? Do you think this is not really professional, is it?
No, not really. It's just radio.
It's just radio! You see? She gets it. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Isn't that nice of me to draw you in that way? Not even tell you I'm going to do that.
You just surprise me every time. I promise you do.
People, just like, you're thinking, they planned that. No. Okay, couple things to cover with you. I want to make sure that we get to it. Do not forget our DNA. Draw closer to the Lord. Never, never, never be ashamed. Always be ready. DNA, that is extremely important. Let's talk about the historical value of this particular day. Today is National Apple Strudel Day. That's right.
I've never had that before.
You have never had an apple strudel? Oh, I'm going to have to tell Noelle. That's it.
Oh,
you're going to have to find out now. You're going to have to find out the real way what an apple strudel
what
is.
What is apple strudel?
An apple strudel is this, it's kind of like an apple Danish, but it's got other things mixed into it, and it's got frosty icing on it. Like, and it's so good that in the morning when you eat it, you'll go, I'm not getting out. I'm not leaving. I'm sitting here the rest of the day.
I'm going to take your word for it. No. I want to try it.
No, we're going to get you some. It's also it's World Croc Day. That's crocodile, not bologna. So if you're thinking, oh, yeah, I believe that. It's World Croc Day. Well, no, the wrong kind. It's actually crocodile, okay? For those that are into the history part of things, this is rather interesting. On this day in 1960, Ted Williams hit his 500th home run. On this day in 1994 was the O.J. Simpson slow speed chase. Now, if you were around back then, if you were around, okay, I'm just saying, and you saw the chase, I'm not saying anything, you know, that was the longest chase ever. It's just like, oh my gosh, it's like a movie. You're like, is it ever going to end? That's all you wanted to know, because it just kept going and going, kind of Energizer Bunny-like. Okay, two very important things that you do need to know. One of these very negative, one of these very bizarre. In 1963, on this day, the Bible, reading it, was banned in public school. The United States Supreme Court ruled that school-sponsored Bible reading in public schools was unconstitutional. By the way, the previous year, school prayer had been banned that previous year. And so from 1963, now it's not probably a coincidence that from about the mid-60s all the way forward, we've had quite a few struggles as a nation. Maybe they should take that back. That's all I'm going to go with. Maybe they should take that back. But here's the part that you can't escape, and this is the thing that's that catches my interest. Because the thing about the Bible, we've been telling people for ages, just in case you don't know, they're going to ban the Bible. If you don't think they're going to ban the Bible in America, you don't even know what's going on. They're going to make it hate speech. They're not going to let you preach it. They're not going to let you teach it. I talked about that 2,000 years ago. Let's see if it goes that direction. Since in England, in the public square where you're supposed to be able to share anything, you can't share scriptures. It's like, wait, what? It's the open public square where people are supposed to... So let's move on for that, because that can get real depressing. In 1871, the tallest married couple got married. I don't know how tall do you think these people are? Tallest married couple. So you're probably thinking, what, 6'4", 6'5"?
You know, I was actually thinking like maybe 7'2".
Right. Very close. Anna Swan was 7 feet 11 inches, and Martin Van Buren Bates was 7 feet 7 and a half inches.
So wait, she was taller than him?
She was taller than him by almost 4 inches. And I think... I don't know if they had babies or not. You would assume they would be tall, but then Wilt Chamberlain's parents were like normal height, like normal in the sense of the 6 range, and he was 7'2" or something like that. So
I mean, the kids will probably be 6'4" by elementary.
Pass me the ball. Okay. All right. All right, everybody laugh. That was funny. All right, so let me tell you what's going on. One of the things that I've noticed and one of the things I want to talk about. And don't forget, by the way, the trivia question is simple. What are the names of Lazarus's sisters? What was the name of Lazarus's sisters? If you know that answer, you can text 214-210-8483, or you can call us at 975-445-0770. Here's something I want to talk about. And this was in my devotions today, and so it's all very fresh for me, and I want to have this discussion about this. There is this process where you and I will look and see what's coming. And I want you to be aware of this, and I want to say it in the right way and communicate it well. When you look down the road, looking down the road is not a sin, okay? Planning something is not a sin. That's just absolutely absurd. But looking down the road with fear, that is a sin. Because of whatever is not of faith is sin, that's where that application applies. And what takes place is people look down the road because they don't know what's going to happen, because most of us will think of this as a around-the-corner process of life. When I was a young boy, I went to Acapulco with my parents. Another couple from our same neighborhood went there, and they decided to let me spend a night with my friend there, so they drove me via taxi. I went in Acapulco. This is back in 67, 68, or 69. And in the taxi, he was taking me from one hotel, the Hilton, to the Princess Hotel there. And there's this massive curve. I mean, a massive mountain curve. And the guy was driving fast. And you know what? I was like a little scared. And he goes, I know what's coming around the corner. And I didn't, but he did. So he was able to drive and navigate us safely. My point in that is sometimes you don't know what's coming around the corner, but if the person knows, if there's a security or safety, you can relax and you can take some peace in that. Let's answer this trivia question, then I'll get back to it. This is David. Who am I talking to?
David, this is Bobby. How you doing?
Bobby, how are you, man. I haven't heard from you in ages.
I'm busy, busy, but I'm getting back down to it. So,
good to hear your voice.
Mary and Martha.
Mary and Martha. That is right, my brother. Great job. Oh, what a pleasure to hear your voice. So nice. Yes. So nice to hear you.
How's everything going?
Oh, we're doing fantastic, man. How you been doing? You been doing good?
Oh,
you
man.
Coming back?
Busy, you know, busy with this world. The world and these kids and whatever. So, but I'm all right.
All right. As long as you're moving forward in the Lord, that's the big kiss. Kind of like golf.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't matter if it's a lousy shot, as long as it goes up 1 inch.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Great job, Bobby. Thanks for calling in, my friend. Okay.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
I'm gonna call you next month and have you do a draft out of my postal credit thing for every month. But I'll call you and let you give you the number where you can draft it out every month.
You reach out to me, my brother, and I will make sure to make the connection.
Okay, I will.
All right. God bless you.
All right. Bye bye.
Good to hear from him, right? Haven't heard from him for a while. I love that guy. He's such energy, doesn't he? He's just got like...
He really does.
He's just got full of energy. All right, so let's go back to this. I just want to talk about this. I don't want you guys to think Dave, you're just spinning your wheels on this future thing. I want you to understand how important this is for all of us. James 4, 13 through 15. Now listen, you say, and we just talked about this the other day. Today or tomorrow, we'll go to this city and spend a year there and carry on business and make money. You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord's will, we will live and do this and that. What happens is we get so caught up in what could be, should be, would be, ought to be, or what we anticipate, and we don't know what's going around that corner. Like that cab driver, he did know what was going around the corner when he took me from one place to another, but I didn't, and so I was afraid. And that's the key. The key is understanding. It doesn't matter if you know what is around the corner, if you genuinely know who is around the corner. And you know who is around the corner? Jesus Christ. When you go around that corner, everybody looks down and waiting for the train because they see a light and they think that light's going to be an oncoming train. Maybe that train's going to hit them ahead or something. Listen, when you look down that tunnel, it's Jesus Christ. That's the light. I am the light of the world. And he's the one that's coming to help. So why I'm saying that is we're going to talk about this for the whole hour. Stop freaking out. If the trumpet blows before I finish this sentence, you won't have any reason to worry, will you? So relax. The Lord is in charge, and he knows what he's doing. He's perfect at it, okay? All right, we're going to take a short break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
Hot topics.
So listen to this. So Jesus in one passage says, judge not or you'll be judged. In another passage, he says, judge ye righteous judgment. That's the King James Version. I like the ye. Judge ye righteous. So there's two different judgments going on here. One's okay, one's not okay. Okay? How does that work? Again, one is a condemnation, the other an observation, an evaluation, and a determination.
The David Spoon Experience.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait,
there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Amazing grace. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, where I'm still not drinking coffee. In the afternoon, that's pretty good. I drink coffee in the morning. I'm not going to say I don't. I drink tea at night, just to let you know how long I've been drinking tea, like sleepy tea. 15 years. Is that long?
That's very good.
Tiara's just really coming into her own. She's just doing it. And it was so funny, as I think it was just about a day ago, or if not, maybe later last week or early this week, but I think it was later last week, where you just said, hey, I wonder where Bobby's at. And then Bobby calls. It's like,
I think it was last week. I was I wonder what happened to Bobby.
Yeah, what happened to Bobby? Called. Bam, he calls. It's like, you know, that's the whole syncing up process. We're getting there. So for that answer on that last question, Lazarus's sister was Martha and Mary, and that's what Bobby came in and gave that answer. So if you text that in, that was also correct. So we had some people that also texted. Here's the deal. Just remember, do you remember the difference between the two? Martha was a little bit of a worrywart. And Mary was like, chill. So what a great contrast. And if you will remember, though, it's just one of the great – it's not funny, but it is funny kind of like removed from it. So when Lazarus passed away – now, Jesus was getting ready to raise him from the dead, right? So, I mean, there's not a problem on Jesus' end. But Martha comes up to him and said, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. And then right after, Mary comes up to him, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. Same line. No guilt in that family. None. My mom would have been proud. Okay. Let's remind you, you can reach out to us, 214-210-8483. Also, you can call us 972-445-0770. I got to wait on the trivia because we've got a few extra things I got to try and do in this segment, and then we'll do a trivia in the next segment. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. There's nothing fancy about it. If you go to that website, you won't find a treasure map. You will not find a way to discover plutonium. I don't even know what we'd even look do that for that. There is a little thing that says the link to a Battlestar plans. I didn't put anything under there. I just thought it was funny to put there. There are testimonies. There is my testimony. There is a radio interview. There's audio. There's video. And there's also an opportunity to give. And I'll tell you right now, our giving is just a little tight. And I've always told you guys what it is. And I just can't stand, almost despise in a certain sense having to tell you time and time again, but you know what? You got to share this with me, and because I can't do this on my own, so I need your help. If you can help out, that would be fantastic. HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. You will be sowing into the kingdom of God. That's the reality. And at the end of the year, you'll get, you know, a statement. I'll put a penny in acrylic and I'll send it to you so you'll never be penniless. I mean, is that just horrible? Come on. Email david@hemustincrease.org. David@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. And now Tiara is going to do a marathon. Well, we're moving on.
Get the situation well in. in hand.
There you go. And so there you have Men of God Moving. You have Mr. Restore and so Mr. Restore. Don't mix those. And then you have Kimberly Ellis for Fathom Realty. All three together. You can connect through them through our website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. If you have any need in any of these arenas, if you have a moving need, if you have a restoration need, if you have a real estate need, and you are having any hard time or difficulty contacting or getting in touch with, you send me an email. I promise you I can get directly to all of the owners quickly. Is that a nice way to say it? Quickly, really fastly. How's that? That's good. Very fastly, really fastly. All right. The reason that I delayed on doing a tribute is because I really want to get to this one little portion here. I want you to get this one thing. It's a very difficult process to look at the future and try to determine it. Have you ever noticed that it seems sometimes hard to use faith for something that is coming but that has not arrived yet, or something that may come? And that's really what the thing is. So I was back in the day when I was pastoring, I would do some what we would call frontline counseling. So pastors are not professional counselors. They can give biblical counsel. They can be what we call first stage counsel, where somebody can be helped by them. That's great. If not, then they should refer them to the proper place. But there is a lot of wisdom in Scripture, and pastors spend a great deal of time studying, applying, hearing how that application works and doesn't work for people, and so on and so forth. I had somebody come into my office. It was a long time ago, but I'm telling you the story because it's pertinent. And they laid out the scenario of four different possibilities that could happen. And they were like, this could happen, this could happen, this could happen, this could happen. And I'm afraid of this, and I'm afraid of this, and I'm afraid of this, and I'm afraid of this. So I said, is it possible that none of those could happen? And the person said yes. And I said, is it possible that a couple of them can happen, but not all of them? And the person said, yes. I said, so basically what you're afraid of is something that you've not yet encountered and don't know how it will go, and you're operating with fear because you don't know how it's going to play out. So you're using faith for a mountain that's a hologram. What's a hologram? It's not really there. It doesn't exist yet. In other words, well, this could happen, this could happen, this could happen, this could happen. That's true, but an atom bomb can crawl up your nose and explode. That could happen too. In other words, you can get so caught up in this could, this could, this could, this could, that you lose sight of faith, 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 and you operate in fear, 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 and then you're afraid for what's going to happen. That's where the sin comes into play. In Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, it says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Now, you know what? You don't have to worry about this verse. You don't have to worry about a month from Monday. You want to know why? Because it's new every morning. You don't know what's going to happen a month from Monday. Stick with the plan. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, Jesus, teaching people to pray, said, this is one of the main things he said, our Father who art thou in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Wow, there's a lot of stuff about God. Give us this day our daily bread. He didn't say, give us our bread 3 weeks from Wednesday. Why? Because that's 3 weeks from Wednesday. Nobody knows what's going to happen there. Today, we need our bread. Can I have bread today? Thank you. Little Yiddish in there. Psalm 118, verse 24. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So this is that one great, great verse. A lot of people say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Well, what about 4 months from next Friday? Who knows? Who cares? 4 months from next Friday, the trumpet blows. You'll never see it. And it's one of those things where we really take on anxiety. And I'm not talking to you. I'm not just doing the expository preaching tomorrow. I'm doing expository preaching on Ephesians 6 and on the armor of God. Today, I'm talking to you about not being afraid of tomorrow.
Well, I don't know if I like Dave's message. I'm afraid. See?
See what I'm saying? You got to not do that. You got to not be afraid of what's coming just because you don't know what's coming, because you trust him who brings tomorrow. You know, there is no tomorrow if God says the sun don't rise. I mean, I'm just, you can't, there's no, well, it works in a perfect rotation and goes this way and it will happen every, unless God goes, all right, that's enough. Then it won't. I mean, he is the one that can stop time and reverse time if he wants to. So, I mean, that's up to him. The point is that we get so focused on what could be, what should be, what may be, the possibilities, the different ramifications, well, all these different things. How about you just take it one day at a time, just like Jesus taught in Matthew 6:11, just like David taught in Psalm 118, verse 24, just like Jeremiah the prophet taught in Lamentations 3:22 and 23. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. In fact, Jesus even said in Matthew 6:34, sufficient tomorrow is the evil thereof. There's enough stuff going to happen tomorrow that you can use all of that fret for tomorrow tomorrow. You concentrate on today. And you think, yeah, but I'm making plans. There's nothing wrong with making plans. Make plans. Have plans. Create tons of plans. Surrender them to the Lord. Have hope for the future and let it go. You can't control what you're not at. In fact, you can't control what you're at either. In fact, you can't control where you were at either. And my point in saying that is for us to do a better job. Let me think of how I want to say this. A better job of not freaking out because you don't know. Now, I'm a control guy, so it's terrible, right? You think I'm talking to you? I'm talking to me. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how things are going to shake down. I'm trying to figure out if I can get through a PhD. I got to get through this day homework, let alone 2 weeks from now. And this is how this all started. I'm going to confess my sin. So I looked at the next class that's coming up, and I'm like, oh, that doesn't look too bad. I feel like I can handle that because the posting and the homework and the books, it's not as bad. And then I looked two classes away from now. And that looks like something that I want to just, I'd rather, you know, cut myself and jump in a pool of iodine. It looks so bad. And then I realized, what are you doing, Dave? It's so far away. And who knows what skills or what knowledge or what you'll attain between now and then. Don't do that. Don't sit there and freak out about what's 2-3 classes away. Relax. Take it today. This is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. And if there's a tomorrow, then we'll say it again tomorrow, and not today. Now here, when we get back, I'm going to dive into the heaviest part of this, so I don't want you going nowhere. You're listening to the David Smoot Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
Every once in a while when I do the radio hosting, I have this wonderful opportunity to talk to people that influence the church, that are a blessing to the church. Today is no different. I am honored and blessed, by the way, to have the opportunity to talk with Pastor Robert Morris. He is the founding and lead pastor of Gateway Church. He's a best-selling author. He's written some excellent material, but he has a new book out, which has the greatest title ever, next to the Bible. The new book is called Take the Day Off, Please. That's all I ask for. The book is entitled Take the Day Off, Receiving God's Gift of Rest. Pastor Marshall, you're there with us.
I am, David, and it is so good to talk with you today.
I do want to let you know before we get going that I was actually introduced to you by somebody at your church about a year ago. I was at a place called Inogen. And somebody named Robert, who went to your church, he gave me your book, Beyond Blessed. And I had not actually had the chance to engage on any of your material yet. I read that. It was a really timely book, which was really cool.
Oh,
and then I was able to go and get your book on the Holy Spirit, which I thought was one of the best pneumatology books that I've read in a long time. So just to let you know, I really appreciate
that. Thank you. I came from a Baptist background, and so I have some friends that are Dallas Theological Seminary. I have some friends that are Church of Christ, and I have some friends that, you know, just come from all sorts of different backgrounds that are not quote-unquote Pentecostal charismatic. And again, that's not my background either. I went to Criswell right there in Dallas and to East Texas Baptist College before that. But anyway, I've had so many guys tell me that they really appreciated that book on the Holy Spirit, and they may not even agree with everything in it, but they appreciated the sensitivity and the way I handled the person and the Holy Spirit.
It was a great job. I mean, I was born and raised Jewish. I became a Christian. I have a Baptist and a Pentecostal ordination.
And Pentecostal.
I'm a Baptist, I'm a Calminian, and I'm a manifold millennialist. So anytime you want to sit there and talk about diversity, I'm there for you.
The David Spoon Experience.
Sometimes hallelujah.
Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. That makes me laugh. I know you guys don't understand why fully, but you know, when you get into certain realms, people get really picky.
They get really picky.
Like, are you Calvinistic? Are you Arminian? Are you Baptist? Are you Pentecostal? Are you premillennial? Are you pre-rapture, mid-rapture, post-rapture? Are you premillennial dispensational? Are you amillennial? Are you postmillennial? And you're just like going, all of those.
So many.
Yeah. And that's nothing. There's so many more. And it's like, wow. I love Jesus. That's my line. Anyway, all right, so let's go back and get another trivia question going. Here you go. So for you texters, we need a few more texts coming in, but we did have a few on that very first one. Here you go on the next one. 214-210-8483 for texters. For callers, 972-445-0770. Here's the next big trivia question. Should be pretty easy for most people. I'm going to say that right off the bat. What form did the Holy Spirit take at the baptism of Jesus? What form did the Holy Spirit take? Now, I know a lot of you know this, and we want everybody to get a chance to call in or text in, so get a chance. If you're going to call in, give them about 2 extra minutes. Isn't that the nicest way to say that? I just try and tell it the way it is.
Yeah, that is. That's real nice.
Because when they call in, it's like, that's it. Doesn't matter if you text now. It's too late. You know, kind of thing. Let's remember our website, HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. Let's also remember David at HeMustIncrease.org. Keep in mind, on the website, HeMustIncrease.org, there is a way to get a hold of us. There is a contact form, and we protect that information. Facebook, HeMustIncreaseMinistry. And YouTube, HeMustIncreaseMinistry. So we have our trivia question out there, and I want to go into this next little thing because this is the biggest thing I really wanted to discuss today. I don't know if many of you have had a chance to, you know, there's great authors. There's many great authors out there. So let's, you know, they are not the Bible. Nor will they ever be the Bible. They're not the people that wrote the Bible. For people that think ecclesiology, which is the doctrine of the church, is as important as bibliology, which is the doctrine of the Bible, there is no sin in the Bible, but there's plenty of sin in the church. That'll help you just resolve that issue right off the bat. You won't even have to go down the road for that. That's pretty simple. I just told somebody that in my class today. Bottom line, though, is that we have this tendency, okay? We have this tendency to carry around with us lots of garbage. And when we talk about lots of garbage, we're not going for pop psychology. We're not trying to talk. We're not saying, I'm okay, you're okay, everybody's okay. I actually have a sermon that says, I'm okay, you're a jerk. It's really funny because it shows you how people are just so selfish and self-centered. It's really rather humorous. The idea is for me and you to communicate with God in such a way that our anxiety, our fears, our frustrations don't destroy our relationship with Him
or the quality of our life that he's given us, even if the time he's given us is short. You don't want to have it bogged down. That's why you have Philippians 4, 6 through 7, which says, do not be anxious about anything. Now, I can rip that scripture apart and give you the Greek. I can give you the translations. I can tell you everything you need to know, except for it's so simple, why make it complex? Do not be anxious about anything. Okay. I mean, it's just like, okay. But in every situation, so how many situations is this? It's every situation, with prayer and petition and thanksgiving, which people need to kind of add, they need to salt that in with their prayers. Present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God transcends. It goes beyond. It goes past the level of you can understand why you're at peace. I want to say this, and I want to say it very carefully. The reason that most people medicate is because they don't have peace. You can tell me all you – I don't care what kind of alcoholic you are, a sexaholic, with drugs or alcohol or whatever it is. You can be an exerciseaholic. It doesn't matter what it is. The reason that we do those things is because there's too much turmoil between the left and right ear and too much turmoil between the left and right shoulder. And the peace of God transcends and goes above that. And that's why in 1 Peter 6, 5, 6 through 7, 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7, it says, humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he might lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. I think what takes place is because a lot of people go to church maybe just on Sunday and don't have a lot of other input, that their image of God perhaps is distorted depending on what type of church they're going to. The bottom line is this: God cares. If he didn't care, he would never would have sent his son. If he didn't love you, he wouldn't have bothered. If he really didn't have a connection to you or me or all of us, as soon as the world rebelled, he just would have wiped it out. It'd have been over. That's not what happened. And God has this care for us. He has this parental care. It's almost like you'd almost want to say it's more of a mom-style affection. Keep in mind that God created man and woman. So there's this over-affection God has in his caring for us, his love for us, his passion and compassion, and his desire for us. Now, a lot of people see God, and they see God as this strict disciplinarian. Okay, and so there's God, and he's like a sheriff, and he has a whip, and he has a gun. As soon as you do something wrong, he either shoots you or whips you. Okay, that's number one. Number two, another whole group of people see God as this old man in a rocking chair who doesn't care. Well, kids will be kids. Other people see God as a space traveler who's in Pluto and never knows what's going on here. None of those are right. God is the perfect parent. He's the perfect adult. He's the perfect being, and he cares about you for your sake, not for his. This isn't about him feeling better about himself. This is about him loving you and I, even though we're hardly worth the love, and caring enough to help us with our anxieties. Do you think that God goes around worried? I'm worried about this. This is not how God functions, and it's not how he wants his kids functioning. So when you bring prayer, when you bring petition, and prayer is more that general talking to God, petition is a specific request to the king, and you do it with thanksgiving, and you present it before the Lord, you offer it up to the Lord. That's your offering, by the way. That enables the peace of God, which passes through human understanding. It transcends it. It goes beyond it. To guard what? To guard your hearts and your minds. Well, what's your heart? Your heart is your emotions, the seed, the center of the things that you feel. And your mind is the center of your thought processes and your reasonings. And so it's using that language poetically on purpose to say your hearts and your minds, they're covered by the peace of God, and that's what makes it all okay. And so you have somebody like Max Lucado, who wrote the book, and he talks about anxiety. anxiety. And we people go around and they carry anxiety like a big bag of garbage. And then what they'll do is they'll get to a certain spot and they'll set it down. And then they get up from that spot and they pick the garbage back up and they put it right back on their back. Stinky, smelly garbage wherever we're going. And we're the ones who are carrying it. And God's like, put that down. Why are you carrying that garbage? There is no profit for you in that. And what did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 6? He said, he talked to us about not worrying. He said, well, what can you add to your life by worrying? Nothing. What can you add to your life by having anxiety? Nothing. Zero. You can't add to your life. And the medical evidence seems to be that it detracts from your life. People that worry tend to have bigger physical breakdowns of their immune system. Like, but really? I guess that really shouldn't surprise us since they figured out that people who give generously, there's an endorphin that goes off when you give that doesn't go off any other time. Who do you think put that in you? Aha! Right? This is not going, I'm going to put some clay together, I'm going to breathe into it and hope this turns out okay. This is not God taking humanity and throwing them on a roulette wheel. The Lord has a plan here. There's a structure here. There's a purpose here. And he's telling you and I, hey, you know what? You should let go of that. You should drop that big pile of garbage that you're keeping with you. You should stop that because it's hurting you. And sometimes it's not even the devil as the one who's doing it. Sometimes it's you and me not being too bright and allowing that stuff to cling to us. Stuff that happened to you 20 years ago, a mistake that you made in business, a mistake that you made in saying something to somebody or doing something, and then even holding on to that kind of stuff, so ridiculous, or fretting about something that's going to happen 10 years from now or 5 years from now. There might not be a 5 years from now. There might not be a 5 minutes from now. I don't know. Do you? Only God knows the future. And in fact, in the book of Isaiah, he says, ask any of those false gods to predict the future. They cannot. I alone know the future. It's like, wow. That's why you trust. That's why you're not afraid. That's why you hope. Because it's at the center of it all, it's God. And that's what you want. That's what you need. That's what gets you through. Until you're dancing on streets of gold. The answer, by the way, in regards to what was the form the Holy Spirit took at the baptism of Jesus Christ, it was a dove. A dove. Aha. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. All of mankind, destroying everyone
and everything we find. The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave.
Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon experience?
By the way, I found out just the other day, I know you don't know this, but I found out that I am one of the most hated people in the United States of America and in the world. Did you know that?
Because you're a middle-aged white guy?
Huh. Let me help you out here, son. Let me help you out. Not only am I a middle-aged white guy, by the way, thanks for the middle-age line. Thanks, pal. I appreciate that.
I'm not that far behind.
Okay, well, that's not the point. The point is, I'm also, ready? I'm also Jewish, okay? So I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm Christian, so I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm conservative. I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm an American. Got a lot of people that don't like me right there. I mean, you see where we're going with this? And I have a talk show. So that's just, you put all those together.
You got points, me left. Yeah, I love you, buddy.
I mean, come on. You know, just because they love me doesn't mean they're right. And just because they hate me doesn't mean they're wrong. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. You know, in two more years, year and a half, I'm not going to be able to say middle-aged. Isn't that terrible? Is that
so what
bad?
Are you going to say?
Well, because, you see, technically how the breakdown goes is 0 to 19 is a child, 20 to 39 is a young adult, 40 to 59 is an adult, and then 60 plus is an elder. So in a year and a half,
so
I'm going to
be
an
elder. Yeah, so. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so you have beginning life, middle life, end life. It's like, wow. I better make sure my faith is where it needs to be. Anyway, keep in mind, if you want to reach out to us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. That's our text. Can't say that any clearer. And then our phone number, 972-445-0770. This trivia question is open for all. Here we go. What does the word gospel mean? 214-210-8483. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Oh, by the way, you can call in 972-445-0770. What does the word gospel mean? What does it mean? That's the question. I do want you to know tomorrow we're doing our expository teaching. I'm pretty sure that I should be able to get Ephesians 6:10-18 done tomorrow. And then there will be one more week after that for expository, and I still don't know where we're going yet, so that just tells you it's too far ahead of me to worry about. Get it? Get it? It's too far ahead to worry about. See? There you go. Thank you very much. We're open Sunday through Saturday. We're closed on Monday nights. those comedy clubs are closed. Never mind. Okay. All right, so what we've been discussing, and I know that typically I get into a deeper teaching level, but then sometimes I like to use this practical material because I think Jesus taught exactly that way. There were some things he taught that were parabolistic, and you were like going, huh? And you're just that many people were, you had to explain it. Somebody had written, well, he wrote those parables because he was just like condemning everybody. And it's like, well, that's pretty funny because he spent a lot of time explaining those parables to his disciples. So that doesn't work. So he did parabolistic, he did expository, he did topical. Sermon on the Mount is entirely topical, the entire sermon. And the whole process there is that he did different teachings in different ways at different times because there's not one teaching. Style, there's multiples because your life is not only able to receive one style. Okay, you learn something, you learn a different way in elementary, junior high, high school, college, and so on. As you grow and as you develop, those things change. This happens to be that practical application teach. And this text that I'm going to share with you is something that I pray. I'm one of those people that believes that praying scripture is a great idea. If you will look and study in the New Testament and even somewhat in the Old, but much more in the New, that when they would call upon the Lord, they would call upon his name, they would often quote scriptures that say, you wrote blah, 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 which is a brilliant idea, by the way, because then you're praying and you're saying to God, well, you wrote this, so, you know, it's kind of like that's the way it works. This is a psalm that I pray with on a regular basis, or I pray 4 points out of this. I want to share it with you. And this is the bottom line. Psalm 37, verse 1 through 9. We probably won't go all the way through 9. Says this: do not fret. Okay, you can just stop there. Don't fret. Stop fretting. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither, and like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noon sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently. This text right here, these first 7 verses, really, I do a little bit more, but these 7 verses, this is kind of like my thing. I get into this. And the reason that I do is because the first thing it says is don't fret. I'm a fretter, not a fritter, not an apple fritter, not an apple strudel. I'm a fretter. And from time to time, I fret. And the Lord challenges me all the time. And he's like, what are you upset about? You have to have confidence in me. And then it says, trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, enjoy safe pasture, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You want to know why that's important? I'm not even sure I know what the desires of my heart are. I'm 58 years old. You'd think I'd have it all nailed down by now. I don't. Sometimes I think I know what the desires of my heart are. Other times I think maybe I don't. I'd rather have God fulfill the desires of my heart because he knows my heart and he knows what will really bless me and really help me. We're getting to the big part right here. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn and your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently. Do not fret. Be still before the Lord. Do you know what that word still is in the Hebrew? That word still is be dumb. Be dumb before God. Don't be so smart. Be dumb. And he will make it happen. Oh, okie dokie. Hang on 1 sec. Who am I talking to?
This is Ram.
Hey, brother. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Okay, so we've got a pretty straightforward question. We're asking what the word gospel means.
Turn to my true news.
Good news. That is correct, sir. You are right. Excellent job. It's good. See, you know what's so amazing about that? There's so much bad news that we need good news, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, there's so much going on. You're like going, but there is constant good news. The good news is the gospel. Excellent job, my friend. Excellent. That's a great job. Great way to do that. Great way to bring the show to a close. Excellent.
All right.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Great job. I love him. He's great. And he does such a good job, just right on target. Good. See, that's the thing you got to remember. Gospel means good news. You know, there's, like I said, it's not just bad news in the press. There's been bad news for thousands of years. That's not new. Why do you think the gospel is good news? There's been bad news for years and years and years. But there's one thing that's consistent since Jesus Christ. Good news. How cool is that? It's like God has his own press. All right, so let's go back to this, and I just want to finish this. It's really important. Okay, don't fret. Got that. Trust in the Lord. Got that. Take delight in the Lord, which means to enjoy God. For those that don't know, enjoy this. The Lord likes you to enjoy things, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. But let him tell you what the desires of your heart are. Stop trying to tell him what you think you know, because it changes anyway. And then that thing, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. That word still is actually be dumb. And you think, well, no, you can't. You're supposed to be educated. You're supposed to know. You're supposed to. There is a point where you come before the Lord and you just go, I don't know. I don't care. You handle it. Not me. You. All you. All day long. Let me know. It's like that attitude is a good attitude because it's a trusting attitude. It's one that says, okay. All right. Well, this is going to happen. I don't know how this is going to happen. All right, Lord. Here you go. Here's my concern. Here's my worry. I'm going to cast this into your hands. You take care of that. I'm done. Let me know how it goes. It's like that attitude, though, is a genuine attitude of faith. And that has great, that's pleasing to the Lord, has great benefit for you and for me. Have the right disposition, the right attitude. Maybe you don't know. Maybe we should acknowledge. Well, okay, you're talking about that whole corner thing. We are kind of dumb, aren't you? Tell me exactly what's going to happen 11 minutes and 27 seconds from right now. What? Oh, you don't know? Because you're not there. Now you can tell me what happened 11 minutes and 27 seconds ago. Just can't tell me what it's going to be. But God can. So be dumb before him in that good way where you're just like, okay, I'm just going to let it go, let you be in charge. My friends, that I know you think, well, that seems oversimplistic. The scripture is very clear. It is Satan that removes us from the simplicity of our devotion to Christ. Don't let the enemy get the upper hand. Keep it easy. Keep it simple. That's what the Lord wants you to do, and to trust fully in him, and he'll take care of you. Don't forget, it's good news, right? Okay, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break, then back, more insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.